been announcing that our teens are going to have an opportunity this summer once again to go to the wilds of New England for teen camp. If you've ever been to the wilds, or if you know anything about the camping program there, the wilds call a special designated time for their campers to get alone with God and to spend some time with the Lord every day. They call it God and I time. I think a specially designated time with God is not only good, it's absolutely vital to sustain Christian living. I don't think that believers can really enter into true spirituality and spiritual maturity without a regular God and I time, if you want to call it that. In fact, if you really want to measure your Christian life, then I think you ought to check your God and I time. When we refer to the Bible, there are two Greek words in the New Testament that are translated W-O-R-D in our English Bible. The first one is the word logos, L-O-G-O-S. And that refers, as far as the Bible is concerned, I think to a larger, more general understanding of the, in fact, the Bible as a whole. That's what it often refers to. For instance, it's used in John 17:17, sanctify us through thy word. Thy word is truth. And word is logos. It's the reference to the whole Bible as having a sanctifying effect upon the believing life. But the second word that is translated W-O-R-D in our New Testament is the Greek word rhema. I guess you would spell that in English, R-H-E-M-A. And it refers to a smaller, more specific term. And it is, I think it refers to part of a larger whole, just a single word or phrase or sentence or paragraph or section in the Bible text. So rhema is a specific reference within the larger logos. You might describe it as a slice of pie, okay? The rhema is the slice of pie, and the whole pie is the logos. Jesus uses that word rhema in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, when he is quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 8, talking about the children of Israel in the wilderness. And he allowed them to hunger, but he also fed them with bread, but he allowed them to hunger that they would learn that man does not live by bread alone, but by every rhema is the way that the word that Jesus uses when he speaks that in Matthew 4, when he's tempted by the devil. By every rhema that comes from God. So when he talks about that, the rhema, he's not necessarily talking about the whole Bible that you may have in your hand at this moment, or even portions or verses of the Bible that you've memorized. What he's referring to is that the word that God himself speaks to your soul, the word that you get from the Lord in a quiet time, in a God and I time, when you're alone with him, when you are in a place of quiet prayer and meditation. And that's what Jesus means. And that's how we're supposed to live our lives every day as believers. We're to live our lives having gotten a word from the Lord that will speak to our heart, that will speak to our soul. So, in other words, you can be doctrinally correct. you can be totally correct in your doctrine, and yet at the same time, inside, you can be spiritually dead because you don't have any word from the Lord personally. You don't have your soul that's being nourished. And the only thing that can sustain spiritual life in any Christian is the living word of God that is spoken personally to your soul every single day without fail, without missing a day. The only thing that can sustain spiritual life in you and me, if we claim to be believers, is that the living word of God is spoken into our soul every single day. And I want to show you then some reasons for why it is important that we have this opportunity every day with the Lord, God and I time, if you want to call it that. I want to show you some of the requirements and some of the rules that I think will enhance that practical stuff that will help you to have a God and I time, a quiet time with the Lord on a daily basis, a devotional life, I guess you could call it as well, whatever. You know what I'm talking about, and I want to share some thoughts with you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we take the time to build upon what we spoke of this morning, when the children of Israel were able to gather that manna, and Jesus said that he was the bread of heaven. He was the bread of life. He is the spiritual sustenance that every single believer must partake of on a daily basis in order to have that life alive in him. Well, I pray that you would use this now as we talk about these things and connect it with our hearts and lives. And Lord, stir up into us a desire perhaps more deeply than we've had before, or a desire that we've never had before. Lord, a desire for you and for what you have to say to us through your word, that we would live by every word, everything that you would speak into our soul through your word, the Bible, and the Spirit who speaks through this book. In Jesus' name, amen. There are some reasons. God and I time will provide you and I a certain vital, life-sustaining essential. And the first thing that I'm thinking of is that we need to be in God's word every day and have him speak to us out of the word of God, because it brings spiritual cleansing. We know that the blood of Jesus Christ is what forgives and what removes sin from our lives, not only initially, but continually as we confess our sin, of course. But also, alongside of that, there is a cleansing from sin that is the result of a quiet time spent in the Word of God. Let me put it this way. It's like the Bible is a daily, day-to-day washing of your soul. Perhaps you're familiar with Psalm 119 and verse 9. How shall a young man keep his life clean, pure, morally? By taking heed to the word of God. It has a cleansing effect on your life. Even if you don't realize it's happening, it's happening. And Jesus says to his disciples in John 15, now are you clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So there's a spiritual cleansing. Paul says it in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26, that what Jesus is doing is not only that he gave his life for his church, his bride, but he is washing her through the water of the word. And so there is like a washing, cleansing that is intended to take place by us having a quiet time in the word of God, in God's presence, and having him speak to our heart. The word of God will convict you of sin that you don't even know about. The word of God will show you the way that you can have your sin cleansed and will bring to your attention the sin that perhaps, again, you didn't even know was there. So one reason to have a God and I time is for the spiritual cleansing it brings. Another thing that is very important in being in God's Word every day, it brings spiritual counsel. Bring spiritual counsel to your life. Make sure everything's on. I'm getting motions that the microphones aren't working. Spiritual counsel. Here's what I mean. When you are regularly in the Bible, in the Word of God, God is using that scripture to build truth into your life. He wants to build truth into your life through your time in God. You discover when you're in the Bible, God's wisdom for life decisions that you have to make. And you get insight as you spend time in the Word of God. You get insight on how to navigate through life's trials. And you'll be given spiritual understanding from the Lord that you'll never find in a book. You'll never find even in a Bible commentary. There are times when we read the Bible and we just have to stop and say, Lord, you know what? Honestly, I don't understand what you're saying. I need you to give me understanding. And did you know that the Bible says that that's exactly what the Holy Spirit is meant to do in the life of a believer? We're to let the Word of God dwell in us richly. And the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 2, that we have a special person that lives in us if we're Christians. And the Holy Spirit is designated to minister to us an understanding of the Bible. And what better person to go to understand a book than the person that wrote it? And the scripture is given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He's the author of the book. He used a lot of human writers, but the Holy Spirit is the author. And you can go to him and you can depend upon him to be your anointing. You can have an anointed reading of the scripture. He can be the unction that you get from God. He will open up your mind, your understanding, if you will depend upon him as your unction, as your anointing. And so you can get spiritual counsel by spending time with the Lord every single day in his word and spiritual cleansing. Thirdly, I think a quiet time with God is important daily for spiritual conquest. By that, I mean, you'll never be able to live a victorious Christian life. You'll never be able to triumph over sin in your life and over the devil and the flesh in your life unless you have a place where you can get your spiritual footing every day. A time with the Lord where you can get your spiritual footing for the spiritual warfare that you're engaged in. To be able to walk in the light, as John says in his first chapter, he says we're to walk in the light and not in darkness. Well, you get that footing by spending time and understanding that you are dead to sin. That you are no longer really in God's eyes a sinner. You're now a saint. And that you can live as a saint. There's victory over your flesh. And it's in the scripture that you get the spiritual conquest because you understand how the Lord has lifted you as a believer to seat you in him high above all these spiritual enemies that you have. The devil and all of his cohorts. You're seated above him. You have a throne seat of authority in Christ. And you understand that as you spend time with the Lord in the scripture, you get that place of spiritual conquest where you put on the whole armor of God, where you put on Christ, and you find that he is all the defense that you need. And a fourth area, and the most important in my understanding, why do we need a God and I time every day? Obviously for spiritual cleansing and for spiritual counsel and spiritual conquest. But I would say fourthly, because we need spiritual companionship. The greatest incentive that I have every day when I open my Bible in the morning is not my personal need, but the greatest incentive I have is that I realize in my heart that God has a yearning heart. He has a longing in his heart to meet with me. God would be disappointed or saddened if I didn't show up. God wants to meet with me. He wants my companionship. His heart is saddened when I fail to keep my appointment with him any given day. He yearns for me to drink afresh of his love. And he yearns for to drink afresh my love for him, my worship, my devotion to him. And so I approach the Bible. I'm looking to accompany my Savior and for the Savior to accompany me. I'm doing this because I want spiritual companionship. I want the Lord with me. And so I don't see it as a duty. I see it as a privilege. And a quiet time with the Lord is what connects my heart, that connects my soul with his in a growing deepness that is more than rewarding. The rewards are unimaginable. The feeling of fulfillment and satisfaction that comes from a connection with the heart of God because of this is the kind of fellowship that you and I are really made for. And so it deeply satisfies. And parallel to that is that when you have that spiritual companionship like that with the Lord, you know what it does? It connects you with Christians that share a kindred spirit. It connects you with other believers that they have that same feeling for the Lord. In fact, in 1 John chapter 1, we read in the third verse that we which have, the disciples are speaking, John and the disciples, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So when you open your Bible, when you go to spend time, you see it as a privilege where your heart, your soul connects with God. You come into spiritual companionship with him, and you will find not only deep feelings of satisfaction, but a fellowship with others that share that same kindred spirit with you. So that's some reasons for a God and I time. Let me mention some requirements. And by this, I mean just practical, specific requirements for a quality time with the Lord, a quality God and I time. You might want to jot these down. I think they're important if you're serious about this. And the first one is this. You need a place where you meet with God. You need a specific place, a private place where you can come together to be undisturbed by people or your devices. You need a time, a private place where you can come alone. You know, Jesus said, when you pray, enter into your closet. He say, get into a private space where it's just you and me, where it's just you and the Lord, where you will not be disturbed by anything else going on around about you. Now, sometimes that might be a difficulty, but if you get up early enough, it's not. Having seven children, if I didn't get up early, I would never be able to have a quiet time with the Lord while we were raising them. If it's important to you, if it's important enough, you'll do it. You'll find a place. That's the first requirement, not only a place, but secondly, a time. And by this, I mean, you got to schedule it. It's not going to happen just generically. It's you got to make a definite time each morning when you meet with the Lord. Remember Jesus? He rose up a great while before day, and he was found in prayer by his disciples. And this was when he was working into the late night hours ministering to people. And so you've got to have a depth. And the morning, they gathered that manna in the morning before the sun could melt it, and then it was no longer available. You know, often if you just let the time go by and you let the hours slip by, you're never going to have that time with the Lord. It's got to be a definite time, and I recommend the a.m. hours. And I know everyone's schedule is different, but there's a time when you need to meet with the Lord first thing when you rise. And also, that time, I think, also has to be unrushed. There's a phrase that often appears in the Old Testament, wait on the Lord. You know what waiting on the Lord is? It's depending upon him, but it's taking time. You're willing to take the time necessary in order to really connect with the Lord, in order to have your soul deepened by a meeting with him. And so it's got to be on. If you're looking at the clock, you're not going to meet with the Lord. Just as simple as that. You have to allow time to meet with God. And that really shows, I think, the seriousness of our time with the Lord. It's unhurried. Thirdly, another requirement, you got to have a Bible. And I know that we're in the habit of reading our Bibles on a tablet, on a laptop, or on our phone mostly. And I'm sure that there are times when that's all you have available. But if you have a hard copy, a real Bible, hard copy Bible available, you should use that when you meet with the Lord. Don't ask me why. It's just different. I've done both, and it's different. And I'm telling you, I would recommend, especially as you get older, that you get a large print edition. Because you don't want to be straining your eyes when you're trying to read the Bible. That's a distraction. So get a good large print edition so you don't have to strain to read. And by all means, don't do this. Don't read your Bible in bed. That won't work. Get out of bed. Get up. Wash up. Wash your face at least. Get up and wash up so that you can wake up so that you're fully alert when you are making good on that appointment that you have with the Lord. Need a Bible. Here's a fourth thing I would mention. I would never, never have my God and I time without a notebook. Without a notebook or a journal of some sort where I can write down the thoughts that God gives me. Where I can record what he speaks to my heart about. Even if it's just a brief sentence. The biblical insights from God that he will give you, you'll never find them anywhere else. They're from the Lord to your soul, and you need to record them. They're your personal rhemas, right? It's the Holy Spirit of God speaking his word into your soul. You need to record them. They may not have the same meaning to anyone else, but they mean something to you because God, they may have meaning, but not the same impact and intensity that it has on you because you got it directly from the mouth of God, so to speak, to your heart. And so record those thoughts. They're very important. You don't want to waste the truth, the insight, the wisdom, the understanding that God makes available to you. In fact, I doubt whether he will make this available to you if you're not serious enough to record it, to preserve it. Because if it's important enough for God to share it with you, it's important enough for you to write it at least in the margin of your Bible, you know? And then another requirement is prayer. I suggest that you begin your God and I time by asking the Holy Spirit of God who is your anointing, to function as your anointing as you begin to read. Because when God reveals truth to you, it's life-changing. And when he reveals truth to you, thank him for it right then. And stop and thank him. Oh, Lord, thank you for showing me that. And incorporate that into my, help me to put that into my life. Enable me to make this, to not only hear your word, but become a doer of it. So make biblical prayers your own as well. For example, you know, there's a lot of biblical prayers in the book of the Psalms, but there's also a lot of biblical prayers in our New Testament. For example, here's Ephesians, and I like the prayer of Paul in the first and the third chapter. In the third chapter of Ephesians, Paul begins this prayer for the people. He says, I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that he would grant you, and here's his prayer request, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. See, as you're reading, let's say you're reading through the book of Ephesians, and this day you're in chapter 3. And so when you get into reading chapter 3 and you hit this section and you see Paul, his prayer request for these people, Lord, that's what I want you to do for me today. I want you to grant me that I would be strengthened with your might by your spirit in my inner man. So you're praying the very scripture that you're reading into your soul. You're asking God to do for you what these people in the Bible are wanting God to do for them. And obviously, prayer is a part of your God and I time. And I would suggest that you have some type of a prayer list. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. It can be something very simple. It could be just a simple outline that M is Monday. The first letter in Monday is M. And so on Monday, I'm going to pray for missionaries. Okay, you could do things like that. But have some type of a prayer list to guide you as you pray for specific things. And then the final thing that I would say about this God and I time that is required is that you come to it with a spirit of expectancy, that you approach God with an attitude that he's going to meet with me. God, you're going to meet with me and you're going to speak to me. And there are three factors that I want to mention about this God meeting, this expectancy. First of all, expect God is going to meet your physical needs. That God is going to meet your physical needs. By the way, if God is going to meet your physical needs, if you're going to meet with God, here's a physical need that you have to have a part in. If you're going to get up in the morning and meet with God, then you need to get to bed so that you can be fresh in the morning when you do meet with him. You know, that takes some self-discipline. It means that you have a time limit as how late you're going to stay up so that you can be fresh in the morning. You don't have the privilege of just staying up all hours of the night if you want to get up and meet with the Lord in the morning. And so I have a time frame, and I usually, when it gets to that hour, I say to my wife, I'm heading up, you know, for the night. And I go up there and I read a devotional or two in little books I have by my bed, and usually have a brief word of prayer. But I cut it off. I've disciplined myself to say, this is when I need to go to bed because I'm going to have to get up in the morning and I want to be fresh when I do so. So there's a physical factor in this expectancy of meeting with the Lord. There's also a moral factor. If you want to have a quality God and I time, if there's something in your life that needs to be adjusted with the will of God, that has to be addressed. The psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord won't hear me. And I don't want my time with the Lord to be hindered. So I need to make adjustments that are in clashing with his will. He says in 1 John, again, chapter one, that if we walk in darkness, if we don't walk in the light, if we walk in darkness, then we don't have fellowship with God. You can't have fellowship with God if there is a known area of your life that is out of whack with the will of God. And so, for instance, if you're holding something against someone else, the Bible says you ought to take steps to get that straight and then come worship me. You ought to get things settled between, if there's a falling out that you had between people in your family or people outside of your family, people in your church family or wherever. You need to try to get that straightened out before you come and have a quiet time with the Lord. That's that more or less. There's a third factor. If you're going to have expectancy of meeting with the Lord and having him speak with you and fellowship with you, and it's a spiritual aspect, and that is God is not going to show you any additional truth till you obey what he's already shown you. God won't show you any additional truth. He won't give you more understanding. You'll not get any extra insight from God until you already are carrying out and applying what he's already shown you. That's what Jesus meant in John 7:17, when he said, if any man do my will, he shall know of the teaching. You have to apply God's word in order to get more understanding of God's word, is what Jesus is saying. So when it seems that you can't connect with God, you can't connect, you're not getting anything, your Bible reading seems dead, usually the issue is a disobedience that you need to follow through and get right. And then I want to close with what I call rules. I gave you some reasons for a God and I time, some requirements, and now some rules for the God and I time. And by that, don't take that negatively. Just some simple steps to take to be helpful in a quiet time with God. Some simple steps that you need to take. First of all, and I've already mentioned this, I'm reemphasizing it. The first one is wait. Wait. Because rushing this time with the Lord will kill it. Always. Wait. Because rushing kills your quiet time. So stop looking at the clock. If you have to look at the clock, then you didn't get up early enough. You didn't allow yourself enough time to spend with the Lord. Okay? Because you have to wait. Rushing will kill it. And then secondly, the word still. Still. That is, seek to constantly come into God's presence. Seek to constantly come into God's presence. Seek his cleansing. Seek his enlightenment of your soul, his illumination. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. Be quiet. Wait. Seek constantly the Lord. Thirdly, read. You'll never pray right until you've heard from God. You'll never pray right until you've heard from God. You really need a schedule in reading the Bible. Don't read it haphazardly. Don't just wherever it opens, you're going to read that particular day. That's that on rare occasions, that could be spirit guided. But for the most part, that's foolishness. You need a regular type of schedule. And you don't have to read a whole lot. I think the most important thing is, again, you have a connection with the Lord when you read the scripture. That you know he's speaking to you. That you're hearing him. You're not listening to other people. You're not listening to other things. Your device is out of your reach. You're focused on that time with the Lord. You're reading. And I suggest that you read it over. Especially if you sense that God is speaking to your heart. Read that passage over again. Read it over again. Get more out of it. Usually when I preach on a chapter of scripture, I'll read it over and over throughout the week I'll read it over again. So, and I often I see new stuff. I see things I didn't see the first time I read it, or however many times. Another rule I would suggest is that you take time to reflect. That is, you meditate in the presence of the Lord, and you ask Him, you ask the Holy Spirit to show you His truth and to seek to discover what it's saying to you from that passage. Now, is there something God's trying to instruct me here in? Is there some promise that God is making to me in this passage? Is there something that God is warning me about that I need to heed and avoid? Is there a new understanding that God's giving me that I need to pursue and understand more deeply and more profoundly? So take time to reflect. Wait, be still, read, reflect, and then I've already, and again, some of this is overlap, understand. Record, jot down briefly what God said to you that's personal. What God has said to you that is personal, a devotional message that He's given you that's ministered to your soul, write it down, record it. And then pray. And by praying, I mean adjusting your life. Pray that pray about the insight that God's given you. Pray it back to God, what He's shown you, until God's will becomes your will. Pour your soul out to Him. Adore Him. Thank Him as the one that loves you, and you love Him. And then intercede for others. And then share your personal requests with the Lord. But pray. Make that adjustment that needs to be made in your heart. And then the next one is share. By that I mean, what God has told you, share with other people. At least one other person. What you share, you'll keep. It's like the manna that we read about this morning. They gathered and there was enough for everyone. They pulled their resources. And so as you, God gives you something, you share what He's given you. You don't hoard it for yourself, or it's going to spoil and be no good to you or anyone else. So share it. And then the final one is obey. Obey. Get up and ask God to remind you throughout the day to depend upon His Holy Spirit empowerment and His grace to put in action what He's shown you in your quiet time with Him. Then do it. Because the only thing that sustains spiritual life in you is the living Word of God spoken personally to your soul by the Holy Spirit every single day of your life.